September 14th, 2005. Item number 87. Today's guest is Chris from the Financial Aid Podcast.
Podcast411.com. Listen different.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Rob, and this is the Podcast 411 Podcast. Before we get into the interview with Chris, a couple news and notes. Well, yesterday we went to the doctor and we were thinking it was week 13 and it wound up only being week 11 after they did the sonogram based on the size, which is good because that means the birth date now is moved from mid-March to beginning of April. Matter of fact, the expected date now is April 5th, which is pretty cool because if the baby's born that day, I'll never forget the birthday because that would make it 4, 5, 6. In the United States for the birthday. And the other good news is that puts it after college basketball season, so I already like this kid. And if you'd like to see a picture of the baby, just look at the cover art. I've attached it in the MP3 file. Coming up in the next week, Tuesday, I'm going to be moving and transitioning internet access, and getting ready for the move is really going to throw my schedule off. Probably I'm not going to have a show this Saturday. Our next show would be this Monday, and then we're going to skip the Wednesday show because of internet access capabilities, and won't have our next show up until Saturday. So we're probably going to skip this Saturday, then a show Monday, and then a show on the following Saturday. After that, should be back on schedule. I will do my best to get back on schedule as fast as possible. Please bear with me through this move and the breakdown and reset up of my equipment. Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and get into the interview with Chris from the Financial Aid Podcast. A quick summary on what his podcast is about. It deals with financial aid with regards to college and college students and how to get money and other things related to debt and finances for college students. So here we go. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What was your first computer?
My first computer. The first computer I ever got to use was an Apple II Plus, the beige and brown, which sounds hideous now, but it was in style back in 1982, that my parents got for me. The first one that I ever purchased with my own money was a Dell Inspiron right before graduate school.
What was the first podcast you listened to?
The first one, actually, I'm pretty sure was the Daily Source Code. When I gotten started with everything, I got a new PowerBook basically in April through the company because at my Avrotech PC laptop had crashed like the billionth time and with smoke and starting to come out the back. And I said, okay, I'm just going to get a machine that I'm pretty sure isn't going to crash, even if it means having to relearn the Macintosh. I got it. My last Mac was my last year of senior year in college. So I got a PowerBook and I got an iPod along with it. And I immediately was browsing around for stuff to put on my iPod. And one of the things that I heard about was a podcasting thing. I was like, okay, well, it's free content, and I don't really feel like polluting my new PowerBook with a bunch of peer-to-peer apps, so let's give this a try. And I'm pretty sure the Daily Source Code was included as one of the defaults in iPodder. The first one I actually subscribed to that wasn't included for me was IT Conversations.
Now, what ones are you listening to today on a regular basis?
I'm still listening to the Daily Source Code, actually, because it's just funny. Skepticality, who I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard Swoopy's announcement, so hopefully they'll be back on the air soon. It's really shocking how just out of the blue things like that happen. CC Chapman's Accident Hash, since he's actually probably about 5 or 6 miles away from my house, because he's in Metro West as well. I just subscribed to it's not a competitor, but we actually just did an interview together, the Debt Podcast, Jay Fleischman's financial advice podcast. I subscribed to my own to make sure that I don't sound like an idiot. One of the few corporate casts I listen to is the Market Watch, CBS Market Watch, Stupid Investment of the Week, just because the guy who does that, Chuck Jaffe, he rants like crazy, so it's actually pretty entertaining. I'm surprised they actually let him get away with as much as they do. Mashup of the Week, Podcast 411, Pod Squad. I just started subscribing to Wichita Rutherford's World of Bluegrass. I'm giving that a try.
Yeah, Wichita is funny as hell. His shows always crack me up.
They've been fun so far.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your podcast, the Financial Aid Podcast. Obviously, the name says quite a bit, but beyond financial aid, tell the listeners what they should expect to hear when they tune into your show.
Well, in the beginning, it was kind of a mishmash of everything, but after 60-some-odd shows, it finally gotten it stabilized. Basically, it's a show about everything related to money when it comes to getting to and through college, scholarships, student loans, financial aid, what your paid Congress critters are doing up on Capitol Hill in your name, ostensibly, and what legislation they're passing that's going to affect your bottom line. From time to time, we'll also cover more consumer finance issues as they affect students. For example, energy prices, gas prices, because there are a number of students who go to college who have cars on campus, and $3.25 a gallon is going to impact anyone. And then just dumping tons and tons of really, really fun PodSafe music in, because it's nice. It's good to have a resource where you can get free music legally. Most of it's, at least that I try to find, I think is pretty good.
Now, most of your PodSafe music, now you're getting from music.podshow.com.
That's right. Almost everything comes from the PodSafe Music Network because it's just convenient.
You mentioned that this is a corporate podcast, that your company has you doing this for them. How was this idea brought about to your company?
Well, it actually... It got started. I'm in my day job, my alter ego, I'm actually the chief technology officer of the Student Loan Network. And so when it comes to technology, basically, I'm the one who ends up developing a lot of the websites. Up until April, I actually didn't have a staff. It was just me. Developing all sorts of new technologies, exploring stuff, exploring new ways of marketing to people, because we're primarily a marketing company. So podcasting seemed like the kind of thing where if it was done well, I thought there was a chance to get in on the early adopters, be there for get your surfboard in the water before the tidal wave gets there. And it's interesting. It's worked out pretty well so far. We probably have FeedBurner says have between 1,700 and 1,900 subscribers. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
FeedBurner is actually pretty good. If FeedBurner says you have that number, roughly what you can figure is you got about whatever their peak number is. Figure you have another 100 to 200 on top of that. But what you have is some people only turn their computers on during the weekend. So you're going to have some listeners that only subscribe during the weekend and others that are subscribing only during the week.
Okay.
So look at whatever your peak number is from FeedBurner, and that's going to be pretty close to the number. It sure matches up when I compare my FeedBurner stats to my Libsyn stats. I look at how many downloads I have in a 10-day period for a podcast versus what FeedBurner says I was having when that podcast was released, the numbers are pretty accurate.
Okay.
Or at least the outside.
Yeah, so we started up, it actually started out almost as an inside thing, as a means of training for our current employees, because we had, at the time, we had one employee who just, I don't want to say anything too mean, but doing stuff or watching stuff just didn't get information into her head, but listening to stuff did. So it was a question of, okay, how can we take the things that they need to know to do their job and put it in a form that's easily digestible. And podcasting actually started out pretty well. So the first eight podcasts I did were basically me reading pages off of our website. It was the most boring stuff I've ever heard. The sound quality was awful. I put together like some really, really bad, cheesy background tracks. And, just the first default that came up in GarageBand, I laid down a track and like, okay, that's good enough for this. And then we said, okay, well, let's see what happens if we put this out there. Started publishing it and things, and I've got a couple of promos out there, got a couple of prominent mentions on the Daily Source Code and Podcast 411 and a couple other shows. And suddenly, people are subscribing to this. And as the students started coming back to school, I've seen the numbers climb up. Not as much as I would like them to see, but enough that I think people are actually starting to listen to it and hopefully get something out of it.
Now, students coming back to school, this is a good point to segue to the article from the University of Maryland and Diamondback.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on that?
Well, here's the thing about the article. I think it actually is, there's a lot of validity to what the authors were saying, that basically students are kind of giving podcasting a miss. I think there's a few things at work there. The first is that when you go into iTunes, and this is one of the points made in the article, when you go into iTunes and you go to the root level of the podcast directory, you see a bunch of things that students probably aren't interested in. You have things like the MLB Radio, the New York Public Radio, NPR, Weeds from Showtime, Simpsons sound clips. A lot of things that they're the corporate logos, they're the corporate brands that people are likely to recognize. But I honestly agree with the article that this is not what students are interested in. Certainly, if I think back to what I was doing in college, if I saw this, I would easily give it a miss because it's just doesn't look very interesting.
Yeah, they need
NPR. There's a big banner. NPR books. I have enough books as a college student. I don't need more. You know, maybe some of the sports casts if I was a real avid sports fan, but you know, I don't see anything here for the New England Patriots, so I'm probably going to give that a miss. And, you know, that's one aspect. And the other aspect is that I don't think anybody, including myself, you know, I hold myself fully accountable for this as well. I don't think anybody's really publicized to students that podcasting is out there, that basically they've got all these great choices for content, you know, some not so great ones. You know, there's FeedBurner says there's about 16,000 registered podcasts with it. I have enough trouble with cable TV with 140 channels in the basic package. You know, 16,000 channels, you know, my eyes kind of glaze over and go, huh. The other thing is, I brought this up when I was talking about IT Conversations earlier. And one of the reasons I actually subscribed to IT Conversations is because they had a few interviews with Malcolm Gladwell, who wrote The Tipping Point. And it's a really, really good book, but one of the key points in the book is that in any kind of social society, there are people who are called connectors, who are the people who just have gigantic social networks. And when they, you know, if you're trying to advertise by word of mouth, they are the mouth that you want the words coming out of. I don't know that as podcasters, if we found those people yet in the college student, the 17 to 21 community, I don't know who they would be yet, but if you find them and get them addicted to podcasts, you know, as consumers or as producers, then I think you'll see the rest of the college population light up pretty quickly. But who they are and how to get to them, I don't have the answer to that. Whatever we choose to do, or whatever the podcasting community does to reach out to the 18 to 25 age bracket, really has to be something that's not only appealing initially, but has to be something that has long-term sticking appeal. That's really the catch. If you think about it, you know, people tune into Podcast 411 because they want to learn how to do podcasting. They want to know, you know, what people are doing. I tune in all the time because I want to hear what equipment other people are using and what techniques they've been finding to make their podcasts better. People listen to the Daily Source Code because you can hear just lots of really fun stuff, and you know, it's one of the oldest podcasts around. So if you're as a podcaster, you get a promo on there, you know, your subscription rates will double overnight. So those are good, valid reasons to not only, you know, tune in, but also, you know, to be a participant. With a college student age group, you need something that would be appealing to them in the long term. Now, that's why I mentioned, you know, shows like, you know, Violet Blue and Dawn and Drew and all that stuff, because let's be honest, if you're a college student, you know, when you're not studying, you're hanging out with your friends, you're drinking, probably, and you're probably in search of casual relationships, let's put it. So those would be all things that, you know, if you had improvements on, you could certainly would want to tune into. Find a way to get good content out there, like you know, Violet Blue's stuff or Soccer Girl.
So what you need really is a spring break cast. It's a podcast that tells people where to go, how to cure the venereal diseases from last year, how to get rid of the crabs, how to save up for it, how to win trips, you know, have a cast that gives away trips.
You know, that would certainly be one way of doing it. There's other things that college students typically are pretty engaged in. Like, a lot of it's like celebrity gossip and stuff. If you walk down Commonwealth Avenue and just, you know, overhear people's conversations, or if you're sitting on the train and you can't help but hear people's cell phone conversations, you know, hey, this happened on Survivor, this happened on Big Brother, this happened on The Apprentice. And I think that's probably the other major sticking point for why podcasting isn't exploding among college students. I think a lot of the, not just college students, but a lot of the population is almost brainwashed into believing that if it doesn't come out of a mass media outlet, it's not any good.
There's a lot of good podcasts out there, a lot better than things you're going to hear on traditional radio, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. But getting people to be a little bit adventurous. I mean, podcasts are free. They're completely free and they're completely legal. And if you can't get people to subscribe to that,
they're free and legal. That's what we have to start doing, is charging money and then have a place where people can download them illegally. Then podcasts will take off.
Exactly, and then start suing people.
Right. Coming up on your show, what are some of the things that listeners can look forward to hearing about?
In the next 2 months, and I realize this is you know, the original tagline of my podcast was less boring than it sounds, and unfortunately it's true. Financial aid, as a rule, is not always the most exciting thing, but it is when it comes to when it comes to money in your pocket. You know, like I say, a dollar is a dollar no matter where it comes from. coming up, we'll be looking at the next 2 months of what Congress is doing with the Higher Education Act reauthorization, which is a mammoth, gargantuan thing filled with lots of complexity. But the way it's written right now, basically it means for college students, it means less money in your pockets, because the lobbyists who work for various loan companies have gotten Congress to kind of game the legislation very, very heavily in their favor. Between that and the White House requesting that we trim $12 billion out of education for other national priorities, you know, there's a lot of things that if you miss them, then when you go to apply for financial aid for the spring semester or for next year, you're going to be in for a very unpleasant surprise. So we're going to try and cover that. We're always doing stuff with scholarships, trying to help people leverage the internet to find more free money, because, hey, you know, free money, good. And, of course, tons and tons and tons of PodSafe Music. The PodSafe Music Network, despite people's hesitations about Podshow running it, I think it's a great resource. I really like it, and there are good artists, and there's a lot of good music in there. It's worth listening to.
CC's done a really good job putting that together.
He has.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a great resource. I'm hopeful that we'll see some additional functionality as time goes by to make it even easier, because the other thing I think is important about podcasting that is a message that's very clearly not getting across. Although you can't get college students to listen to it, you're certainly not going to get them to make their own. And I think the more podcasts there are, the better, because there'll be a lot of ones that are not so good, and there'll be a few that are really terrible, and then there'll be a few that are really, really excellent and are, you know, that need to be heard. So the more people who get into it, the greater amount of stuff that's worth hearing is going to be created.
Chris, where can people locate your podcast?
Easiest way is www.financialaidpodcast.com.
I know you've mentioned in one of your shows that you use Mac and you're using GarageBand. What else are you using? What kind of mic and what any other equipment that you're using?
Let's see. I have more than the hardware. I think I've got a few different pieces of software, but I'll go to the hardware first because I have a really, really cheapy Logitech headset, the USB headset that it does all the audio. And you can actually, if you listen carefully to the podcast, you'll occasionally hear a clicking sound. That's because the Logitech headset is made of a very flimsy plastic that when you move your jaws too wide, it makes a clicking sound, which is unfortunate, but I've been looking at a new microphone. I'm looking at the Samson CO1U. I've seen some really mixed reviews on it, so I'm debating whether I want to spend the $80 on it or not. I use a PowerBook G4, which is, at the time I bought it in April, was the latest and greatest, and it's, you know, it certainly is quite nice. It's got a gig and a half of RAM. I use GarageBand for everything except for converting unusual stuff into AIFF format for import. I have Audacity for doing the conversions, and I also have something called Bitvice Helper, which can take any, just about any kind of WAV file or whatever, and convert it into an MPEG MP3 file.
What's that you can then just drop in.
Bitvice Helper. It's actually designed, I think, as a part of DVD ripping software, but it also works surprisingly well on just about any kind of audio input. You can slice and dice and make Julian fries. The only caution with that one is that you can get messed up on the frequency. It defaults to 48 kilohertz instead of 44.1.
It'll
come into GarageBand with Word Salad.
Yeah.
Text Wrangler to do the show notes, and then one thing I thought was interesting, iTunes 5 exposes the lyrics ID3 area in your song's info. So when you're doing your ID3 tags, I think the lyrics tab is a great place to copy and paste your show notes. So you have your entire show encapsulated in a file. And then if you're using Tiger, which is what I've got, there's two dashboard widgets, the Live Journal one and then this Dash Blog. And I can post my show notes straight out from my dashboard into the various places where it needs to go. And then CyberDuck to load stuff up to the server. The other thing, there's one other piece that I just discovered yesterday. I actually just posted it in the Podcast 411 forums, actually. The Lame Encoder for iTunes. I just found the iTunes Lame Encoder interface, which creates really, really good sounding MP3s that are about 30% smaller than the native iTunes MP3 encoder. So if there's someone out there doing their encoding into MP3 with iTunes, get the iTunes Lame Encoder. It sounds great, and you know your bandwidth will thank you.
Chris, you've done 60 shows, so you have got quite a background now on podcasting. What advice would you like to offer out?
Number one, expect your first 10 shows to suck. Period. Throw them out. But do them, and you got to know your gear. You have to know what you're doing with your gear. RTFM, Especially when it comes to the software side of things, there are, like in GarageBand, there's stuff, I'm learning more about GarageBand each day I do it. There's the multiband pass encoder, the peak limiter, which prevents those really nasty popping sounds. I've been just playing around with the compressor, and you know, I think I can hear the difference when I mess around with the compressor inside of GarageBand. I know Adobe Audition has that as well. So know your gear, get used to your gear, play around with your gear a lot, because you will not find neat things otherwise. I was listening to the interview that you did with P.W. Fenton the other day, who had, I thought had, all again, really, really great advice. You know, make sure that you listen to your stuff, because sometimes you'll listen and go, what did I just say? The last thing I would say is get out there and participate on some of the forums. I know New England Podcasting has forums out there. Podcast 401 has forums out there. A lot of these discussion boards, don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, there'll be a few jerks who will always say, hey, why don't you read the manual? And, you know, if I say that, I'm sorry. But if for the most part, the more you can learn from other people, the easier and the faster you'll get to that stage where you are generating a real high-quality podcast.
Well, thank you for that advice. And folks, don't feel afraid to ask at our forum boards. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thank you for having me. It's kind of one of those things that you know you've made it at least part of the way when you get interviewed by Podcast 411.
Well, folks, that concludes our interview with Chris from the Financial Aid Podcast. Please check out his podcast if you are interested in college finances, if you are in college, if you have someone getting ready to go in college, or if you even know anybody in college, at financialaidpodcast.com. Thanks again, Chris, for coming on the show. At the end of today's show, I'm going to play a promo from the Mostly Trivial podcast, and I do have to apologize to Johnny B. He sent this promo in about 2 months ago, and I put it in the wrong folder, and he sent me an email today asking when it was going to be played, and I was like, "Oh!" So, Johnny, here it is. Sorry for the delay in getting this out. And I'd also like to read part of an email from Beth in Houston. I had asked about explaining podcast, and Beth said the best description she's heard of explaining podcasts is that it's a combination of public access radio, in that anyone can make a show, and TiVo, in that you can record your favorite show and listen when you want. Thanks, Beth, for that explanation. That is a pretty good one. If you out there have any stories or rants or raves about how you tried to or were unable to explain podcasting, please send them in to podcast411@gmail.com. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks again for tuning in. As always, I'm your host, Rob, from Podcast 411, reminding you to listen different.
Just to let you know,
Mostly Trivial is back.
Well, hello, Rob, and the listeners of Podcast 411. This is Johnny B. with Mostly Trivial. If you guys want to listen to a fun, short, and general podcast trivia game, go to mostlytrivial.com, and don't worry about those damn W's. This is Johnny B. signing off.
Mostly Trivial.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.